the Psalm 45. In the verse 1, the psalmist is introducing us to his subject. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And then in verses 2 to 9, he addresses that King. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. So he's told the king about his person. Now he's telling the king about his power. In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. And then he talks about the king's throne, his government. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. And then he talks to the king about all his companions. Verse 9, King's daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. And now the psalmist addresses that queen, the church. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favour. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king's king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. And then there's a closing address to the king again in verses 16 and 17. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. And the way of the psalmist is going to make his name to be remembered in all generations is to write this psalm and to pen it. And we have it tonight, and it's fulfilled. This king is remembered even here, this generation, because we have this psalm. So the subject is about the king, verse 1. You'll see here that he is speaking from the heart. My heart is indicting a good matter. He's writing about the king from his heart. It's coming out of his heart. He has passion about this subject. A famous preacher said one time, I have a passion, and it's Christ. Christ is my passion. And this psalmist has a passion for the king. It begins in his heart. It doesn't end in his heart. It comes out at his tongue. My heart, my tongue, from my heart to my tongue. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I have a heart full of the king, and I have a tongue ready to sing and to speak about him and to be the very pen of inspiration to tell about the king. Now, we can't talk about all that it says about the king, but I do want to draw your attention to the second verse. Having announced he's going to speak about the king, it's as if the very king is in his presence. It's as if he's appeared. And he addresses him, thou. And brethren and sisters, this is how we can address our Lord Jesus here at this table. He's here. And what would we tell him? We'd tell him these very words. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. He is telling the king about himself. Isn't that what a bride does? Doesn't a bride tell her spouse how lovely he is? How wonderful he is? What it is that she just loves about him? And that's what we say to the Lord Jesus. There are three things that are glorious about Jesus Christ. She tells him, or the psalmist tells him, about his beauty. Thou art fairer than the children of men. The psalmist tells him about his eloquence. Grace is poured into thy lips. And the psalmist tells him about his Father's blessing upon him forever and ever. Therefore God has blessed you forever and ever. It's the first one that I draw your attention to tonight. He tells the king about his beauty. And he is beauty. The word fairer there means beautiful. In fact, it's an unusual form of the word because it's doubled here in this verse. Beauty, beauty. It's hard to translate, but it's saying you're very beautiful. You're extraordinarily beautiful. You're more beautiful than anything. And the comparison and the contrast is with all the other children of men. All the other men have been born in the world. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Thou art more beautiful than anybody else. Now, this is the testimony of the psalmist. This isn't everybody's testimony. Not everybody's going to say this about the Lord Jesus. You know what the world says? They see no beauty in him. They're not going to say, thou art beautiful. They don't see any beauty in him. But those who have had their eyes open, who've seen the beauty of the Lord Jesus, this is what they have to say. Thou art beautiful. Thou art more beautiful than the children of men. So this is a testimony of the saints. And how is he beautiful, more beautiful than all the other sons of men? Well, we can contrast him, the Lord Jesus, with men in so many ways. We could think about the names. He has more beautiful names than any other man ever had. He's Jesus. What a beautiful name. I know many had that name in Bible days, but he really has a name. It's his real name. It's him. He's Jesus. He's Christ. That's a beautiful name. He's Emmanuel, God with us. I know that there's people called Emmanuel today, but he has a name in reality. It's really his name. It belongs to him. He's beautiful in his names. He's beautiful in his birth, in his conception and birth. Wasn't he born of a virgin? Oh, his conception is beautiful. How the Holy Spirit marvelously and miraculously came upon the womb and the substance of Mary, and the humanity of Christ was miraculously conceived. And the Son of God joined to himself a human nature. That's a mystery. And you know when that happened? It didn't happen 3 months down the line. It didn't happen 6 months down the line. It happened 9 months before he was born. That's when he was conceived. That's when the person of Christ in the womb, the God-man, 9 months before he was born. How did the abortionists answer that? You know what they're killing? A human life. Conception. Marvelous conception. Fairer, beautiful, and more beautiful than the sons of men. And then he's in his life. How beautiful in his life. His words. What beautiful words. What beautiful works he did. What beautiful thoughts he had. Oh, there was none like him. Beautiful in his life. Beautiful in his behavior. Beautiful in his responses to men. Beautiful in his kindness. Beautiful in his grace, even beautiful in his touch. Touch of the leper. Beautiful in the help that he gave to sinners. Beautiful in his friendship with publicans and sinners. Oh, he's altogether lovely. Fairer than all the sons of men. Beautiful in his death. Oh, what a beautiful death. Because it was a sacrificial death. It was a sin-bearing death. It was a death in love and in grace. Beautiful in his death. Beautiful in his blood-stained garments. Beautiful even in the crown that he wears on his brow. Beautiful in his ploughed back. He's altogether lovely. Even in the ugliness of the cross, he's lovely. more beautiful than the sons of men, beautiful in his resurrection. Oh, what man had a resurrection like that? What man came forth from the tomb, not even having seen corruption, came forth never to die again? Never was a death and a resurrection like it. He's beautiful in his resurrection. He's beautiful in his ascension into the heavenly glory, and how the gates of glory were opened up, and the angels sung, "Who is this? Who is this King of glory? Be ye lift up, ye everlasting gates. Who's this beautiful King that the psalmist talks about coming in to sit on the throne of God?" Oh, he's beautiful in his ascension. He's beautiful in his reign at the right hand today. He's beautiful in his ministry of intercession for us sinners. There never was a man in glory like it. Fairer than all the sons of men is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of this. He's beautiful in his coming back again. Whenever everybody and every eye will see him, the Son of Man, the fair one, coming in the glory of his Father's throne. Beautiful in his return. Beautiful in his everlasting kingdom throughout all the ages of eternity. This verse is so true, brethren and sisters. And he's our Saviour. So admire him and behold his beauty and consider his beauty and bask in it. And may that beauty be upon us. Remember how the psalmist said, "Oh, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us." Isn't that a great prayer? Maybe you see the Lord Jesus so beautiful, so godly, so holy, so upright, and you just say, "Oh, let that beauty be in me, Lord Jesus. Thou art fairer than the children of men." And that's the one who's at this supper tonight. And he invites us, who are so ugly, he invites us to sit with him. He's our friend. So let's worship him. Let's feed on his body. Let's drink his blood by faith. And let's be assured of our everlasting salvation in him.